All right. Good morning. My name is Mike, and I had the dubious honor, I guess, to help to organize the trip that we took this year down to Los Canales, Mexico. I'm going to start out with Matthew 28:18. It says, then Jesus came to them, and this is like one of the last things in Matthew that he left his disciples with. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So, and surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. So he said, go, baptize, teach. I'm a simple kind of guy, so I appreciate the simplicity in Jesus's words there. So I think we would all agree that we're kind of living in tough times, right? But Jesus's words don't change, regardless of what time we're actually in. So he didn't say go when things in the world are easy or safe, or you know, you've got plenty of money, or you got your life all in order. Raise your hand if you've got your life in order. All right. He said, "Go," and he said, "Teach." And sometimes I'm a student of leadership. Sometimes teaching is what we're doing right now. Right, I'm telling you a story. We're weaving facts in. Passing information, and sometimes it's with your mind, sometimes it's with your heart, sometimes it's with your body, and we got a chance to do all of the above during this trip. So what you can expect from me this morning, from our team, for sure, is the story of a grand adventure. And so it starts back in September when we said, hey, are we going to Mexico again this year? This was our fourth time down as a construction specific or I guess oriented trip. So fourth year running. Are we going to do it? Is there a need? All the above was yes, and so we started, and I say we because there's quite a few on our team that were heavily involved in the planning process. So kudos to everybody. We started communicating, saying, hey, this is a thing. This is what we're doing. Church, what do you think? Missions committee, what do you think? Pastor, what do you think? Can we get some support? Can we get some encouragement? And this church, other churches have been faithful over the years in doing that. And so a big part of also what you can expect this morning is a lot of thank yous, because without you guys and this church, the body of Christ, we wouldn't have gone and we wouldn't have been able to do all the things that you're going to hear about. So, without further ado, the mission of Feed My Lambs International is to proliferate the gospel in northern Mexico and surrounding communities, primarily the city of Monterrey, which is about the size of Chicago, and we'll get to my map here in a minute. The guys generally love my PowerPoint slides, so thank you very much. We got one guy listening, that's good. Their ministry stretches all the way down to Mexico City, and Mexico is not a small place, almost to Guatemala, and orphanages, pastors, pastoral families, retreats, college age youth. This compound, this area in northern Mexico that we went to work at hosts so many conferences, retreats, training, respite for pastors and their families who are living in tough times like us, but tough times different from us. If you watch the news, I'm sure you can probably start filling in some of your own blanks there. So it's not always the safest places, and yet they are teaching. They're They are preaching the gospel regardless of the situations in their lives. And so as we talk about Feed My Lambs and we talk about Gary and Minnie, and I think we have a picture later on in the presentation with them, that they're doing the same thing. And so they are in difficult places. They are doing difficult things, not just preaching the gospel, which sometimes can be difficult in its own way, but also quite joyous. So for the last year, Gary and Minnie have been adding on. There was a building with a floor plan smaller, a main floor plan smaller than this room, I think, maybe close to the same size. And that was the primary ministry center. That was the primary area where they ate. So everything was kind of done in one big space, and then there was a second floor. About a year ago, Gary actually was here preaching, and just a year and a half, I guess, now. But and he said, "Hey, we've come to a point where we have outgrown what we have. And so the need is bigger than what can be provided." So there was an expansion project that was planned. It was drawn up. There was a price tag put on it, and so the work began. And we were able to go down and add the period at the bottom of the punctuation mark, I guess, if I had to put it in one way, because what we did was quite a lot of work. It was actually more than I had expected. I knew it's always a lot of work. But what God was able to do with that was just absolutely amazing. So here we go. All right. So our mission this year was to glorify God through a visit and service to Feed My Lambs International in northern Mexico with Gary and Minnie. We accomplished this through multi-project construction efforts in the expansion of the ministry center. This included concrete pad, stairs, wheelchair ramp, and I don't want to miss any of the finer details here, the concrete effort, there was a couple of different efforts, as you can see going on, roughly 400 110-pound bags of concrete, greater than 110 yards of concrete by shovel, mixer, and wheelbarrow. I am not a concrete, or I was not a concrete guy, not as good as Brother Ed over here. 110 yards is a significant amount of concrete, roughly 14 dump truck loads of rock and sand. So when we order concrete here, there's a cement truck, if it's over a certain size generally, that shows up, and then they start dumping it all out in a certain way, and then people finish it and all that stuff, and then you have a concrete slab. It's not exactly that same way, roughly the same concepts, except every bit of concrete you're mixing in this giant barrel, I guess, that keeps going round and round until it's mixed, and then you dump it in the wheelbarrow and you truck it over and you dump it out and you come back and you do it again for 14 days. More will be talked about with regards to the cement as we go, but I wanted to point those specifics out. Focus of our trip was church expansion, framing and stage construction, as well as metal roofing, roof support, welding, and fabrication that all went on. We were a group, we have about nine that'll share with you here this morning. We were a group of 20 total. That was down. Two of us got a chance to preach at local partner churches with Feed My Lambs International, so that was pretty cool. We also conducted a site visit to Brelando en el Corazón de un Niño, which is basically brightening the heart of a child. It's a children's home in Monterrey. So again, more will speak about that. So let's go to my map slide. Yeah, there we go. Airplanes, right? So So this year, last year, we tried sending an advanced team down, which basically was Bob and his truck with all of our tools, so we didn't have to try to figure out how to fly or fight each other off over saws on the construction site. So we were able to bring the tools that we needed to do what we were going to be doing. So we left roughly on the 7th. There was four of us that drove down and down all the way down to Mission, Texas. We did that over the course of about 2 days, met up with Gary, crossed over the border, and then got to the ministry center area and or ministry site, and then started working pretty quick after that. On the 14th, the flight team came down. That's where my little lines came down, all the way through Dallas, Fort Worth area. And then the next slide landed in Monterey after a few hiccups, I think, with the flight schedule, which there's always something. They made it in. We got them to the ministry center, got everybody bedded down and oriented to the area and what we were going to be doing, and then started work, right? I don't know, did I miss anything? All right, next slide. So the picture here, the upper left is the top down of what the ministry center used to look like. The blown up picture there is the ministry center about 4 months ago. And so it was basically some brick walls with some ironworks that were coming over the top when we got there. So it was a little further developed than this. So if you go on to the next slide, you can kind of start getting an idea of some of the things and some of the fun that we were actually able to have. Most of our days, we had our morning devotions as a team, generally by 7, breakfast by 7:30, work by 8. And you'd be amazed at how important those morning devotionals are, not just what we were going to be doing for the day, so everybody was able to experience their team assignments and what we needed to focus on for that day, but also the why, because everybody's fired up the first day because you're fresh. And then by the second day, you're like, oh man, I need to drink some more water. Right, and then Mike's going to yell at me if I don't drink any more water, if I don't have my water bottle full. And then by the fourth day, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I can't feel my hands, you know, and like I'm wearing the same shirt that I wore for the last 2 days. Why am I doing that? And I forgot to shower last night because I was so tired. But those devotions were very sweet to me, and the why and the just praising Jesus, right? Even when you couldn't hardly hold your hands up to praise Jesus, right? I was like, oh my gosh, my shoulders are so tired. But we did. And pushing through those things, regardless of our ability levels, regardless of what we knew about doing concrete, which for me was very little, or framing, or just, you know, staining boards or sweeping floors or whatever that looked like. Those types of experiences grow you, not just physically or emotionally, as we learn how to push through difficult things, but spiritually. And so everybody that gets up here this morning is truly changed because of what they were able to experience down there and what God did for them. So, come on. Hold tight. The 6-hour flight turned into 36. Dell and I had an opportunity to preach at a couple of different churches. The children's home for sure gave us a very fresh perspective. Again, it was almost like a little oasis in the middle of, well, it was on one side of, I think it was a beef farm. Which is basically just a cattle yard, and then barren, like desert scrub brush, that kind of thing. So it was fairly remote, but the kids there knew who Jesus was. They had heard the gospel, and we were able to go there and encourage them and tell them, like, hey, you know, We didn't come halfway, you know, halfway down the Western Hemisphere here just to see you, but we wanted to see you. We wanted to visit with you. We wanted to encourage you. And I think even you know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, some 16 and 17-year-olds, they understood that. And I think we're incredibly appreciative, and just the hearts that they have were absolutely amazing. Okay, so that's the foundation, that's the groundwork. Yep, here we go. So I was trying to do social media posts just to be, I don't know. I'm not a millennial, but like, so I'm not very good at it. But one thing that God kind of put on my heart was like, sometimes we get to preach the gospel and sometimes we get to sweat for it. So on this trip, I actually got a chance to do both, which was not the trifecta. What's it when both two things happen? Sophia, you're in college. Don't you know this? No? Okay. Is it not? Thanks, Bob. So preaching, I had preached a few times before, and I'm actually wearing the exact same shirt, so I'm very unoriginal in my wardrobe choices, apparently. Like this? Okay. Anyway, very impactful for me. So growing, when we talk about our growth, that was a way that God grew me. And it was straight up just like, hey, guys, here's the gospel. God loves you. He came. Wait, we're sinful. You know, he sent Jesus for us, and you need him. And we are in, the gospel is never more important than it is today, right? Because we're one day closer from either our death or Jesus coming back, right? Both are victories for the Christian. It's never more important for the world than it is right now, right this second. And tomorrow I'll say the exact same thing, and the following day and the following day. And so, as God kind of worked this through, like massaged it into my heart, I was able to preach that, even down in Mexico, and Minnie, who is the young lady that's right there next to me, my interpreter, and she was absolutely amazing. So, that was, slightly outside of my comfort zone, but God pushed me to do that, and I'm eternally grateful for that. The picture on the left are two guys. There was some big pouring days, and so there was a concrete slab, probably about twice the size of the footprint of this room, that we had to do by hand, and so like with the big barrels and all that stuff, and it was just grueling, you know. Hebrew slave type work, I guess. The Monday and Tuesday that we really kicked this off, there was a group of men from local churches. Some were pastors, some were elders, that kind of thing. And they came and they worked with us. There's about 21, 22 guys, I think, that came. So essentially doubling our workforce, which was great. Because it made the concrete go a lot faster. But these two guys, as I'm like running one of these barrels, which I had never done before, but I got very comfortable with it. These two guys finally got their hands on the shovel. So there's like this barrel and there's a pile of gravel, just what you would think, straight gravel, and then sand. and then there's a couple other things that go on, but the shoveling is by far the hardest part. I mean, I think everybody would probably agree. It's relentless. It's got to be a certain number of scoops and all these things, right? And these guys obviously were not new to the operation of the shovel or the slinging of gravel and sand. The guy on the far left is Jacinto, and then the guy in the middle, his name completely escapes me, and it escaped Gary as well. So, because I was like, "What was his name?" You know, like, and so I feel actually kind of bad about that. But the three of us developed this little friendship, right? A little trio, and we worked together sun up to sundown that first day, and were very yeah, we just kind of formed this little bond. And so even during breaks, like, we were all three together. We sat and we drank water together, and not Jacinto, you only drink Coke. But, you know, it's 90 degrees, we're sweaty, you know, all this stuff. And I'm thinking about it, you know, during the few downtimes that we had a chance to catch some shade. And I was just like, God, what do you put inside these guys? Like, I don't think I've got this much energy. And I was older than one and probably younger than the other. Just a, like, it was a terrific message of love for me. Like, hey, you know, love these guys. They obviously are thinking the same thing, just in Spanish. And then at the end of Monday, you know, we're hugging and we're all nasty and everything. As you can tell, it looked like I'd been eating mud pies. But they came back the second day. None of the other guys from Monday came back on Tuesday. It was a different group of guys from the local Bible college. But both of them came back, and both of them grabbed shovels and came straight over to the concrete mixer that I was at, you know, and I'm dragging, you know, I'm like trying to swill coffee and everything. Like, come on, Mike, wake up, you know, like, let's get going here because you're tired. And they were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to go again. So very, it was kind of powerful for me, and just the action, just the way that they, their countenance, their motivation. And they, you know, just like us, they knew exactly what they were building. They knew exactly what they were putting together, and they knew why. And so that, for me, was two very powerful examples from my trip. At this point, I am going to shut up so that other people from this team can talk. And we're going to start off with Brother Kent, who was not able to be here this morning. They had when Eric and I put the date together for us to present, he and Carolee already had a trip planned, and so they I asked him if he wanted to put a message together, and he absolutely was excited about that. So without further ado, we'll go to Brother Kent.
Well, good morning, East Lincoln Alliance Church. Kent Tollickson, former youth pastor, coming to share with you this morning. If me saying I'm your former youth pastor kind of surprises you or catches you off guard, hey, I'm with you. It surprised me and caught me off guard too. I did not realize that Gary has the power to just kind of casually fire me as he's driving around Mexico in his van, but apparently he can. One of the many running jokes for the week, you can ask around, it was lots of fun. But I have two quick praises to share. One, I praise God for the opportunity to go visit the Casa Hogar Orphanage for the second time. It's an orphanage that many has a lot of connections to. And like many orphanages in Mexico, it has a lot of needs. And I just feel like God is convicting me to organize ways that our youth can help other youth in need. In Mexico, I mean, even could be Africa with Rosemary's connections. I'm not totally clear yet, but this would happen through prayer and fundraising and collecting supplies and, you know, maybe sponsoring a child. Again, not sure. Pray with me about this conviction, and regardless of how it plays out, what a gift Gary and Minnie are to, as we do try to help, for them to have those efforts be done wisely and effectively for the orphans of Mexico. The second thing that I praise God for is letting our team enjoy getting help from local pastors and men from their congregation on Monday, as well as college students from the Berean Bible Institute on Tuesday. On both of those days, more than 20 other people were on hand to just help us get stuff done. And not only was it a huge blessing because we got way more done than we would have on our own, the bigger blessing for me was lunchtime and sitting down with them and having them share how much the ministry center meant to them. In fact, the pastor on Monday, he talked about how disappointed he was that because of construction, the ministry center wouldn't have some of its normal events in the coming months, but how overjoyed he was to see how this was like Nehemiah going to build the wall of Jerusalem, and how overjoyed he was to bring men and help get that kind of thing done. It was It was wonderful. It was a time for our team to see the fruit of our labor. Because not only is it awesome and fun to just go work hard, because honestly it is, and we work hard, but it's more fun to then get a glimpse at the fruit of our labor. As Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary of doing good because it yields a harvest. God gifted us with a way to see some of that harvest. So it was awesome. Thank you, Gary and Minnie, for your faithfulness to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Mike, for organizing so many of the details to get this mission trip organized. Thank you for the entire team. What a great group to work with. I love you guys. Thank you. And thank you, East Lincoln, for the way you support missions and allowing this to happen. Jesus is honored and glorified through these things. So enjoy the rest of the morning. I miss you guys. I know I'll see you all again soon. Former youth pastor Ken Tullickson signing off. God bless.
Thank you, Kent. Hope you come back with a tan. So we had a couple of folks that weren't actually native East Lincolners that joined us. One of the small groups from down in La Crosse are here today, Keith and Ashley Kaufman. Absolutely phenomenal folks. Could not have asked for any other complete strangers to come, because it's always, you know, there's this expectation management and all that stuff. I'm like, you're probably going to work like a dog, but you're going to eat like a king. So, because we had three cooked Mexican meals, home-cooked, hand-cooked, handmade Mexican meals every day. So, without further ado, I want to introduce Keith, and he's going to come up and share with you guys.
Good morning. I'm going to be sharing a little bit about how we were able to attend this missions trip, how God orchestrated it, what I saw through this mission trip, how I saw God move. And so I went to a men's conference with one of your members. Well, he was there, and he told me of an opportunity to join a missions trip to Mexico. And I said, okay. And I went home, and I said I wanted to go. And then I went home after the trip, after the weekend, and talked to my wife. And, you know, I'm like, hey, we have an opportunity to join a missions trip. It's our first missions trip together, you know, as a married couple, and I think this is a good season to do it. And, you know, she said, okay. So without knowing where we're going in Mexico or the risks involved, you know, just trusting God that he'll provide, he'll protect us and make a way. And he certainly did that. So we got our vacation, and I think I went to the conference in, late October. And then, so we got all our vacation approved, and in a few months, we're off. And so I'm very grateful for the opportunity for us to be able to go, and for your generosity in sending such a wonderful group of people down there. I mean, we had people that have their own handyman business, construction businesses, you know, fire chiefs, like everything. We had everything that we needed in a very well-organized missions trip. We were definitely set up for success. Their preparation was just amazing, bringing down all the tools, organizing all the connections. I guess I'll also highlight Josh and his leadership with the flight team when things didn't always go as planned when you fly American. But we truly had a wonderful time together. I enjoyed seeing being with a bunch of genuine believers that I didn't know. I thought it would be a lot of fun, and it turned out to be better than I ever expected with all of your guys. Such genuine people, strong believers, such hard workers, sacrificial, very fun. Ethan, all of his singing really brought me a lot of joy. Mike and Dell, I really appreciate you guys coming, your hard work and personality, and your backgrounds too, you know, very useful. Yeah, I'm so thankful to be able to join that the purpose and the mission of what we did in Mexico, preparing the ground for people to come and hear the gospel and people to come and be refreshed and encounter God. And also, you know, we got to go to the orphanage. God's word says in James that it is pure and faultless religion in the sight of God to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep yourselves unstained from the world. So we got the opportunity to do that and visit orphans and love on them and encourage them with God's love. Like Mike said, it's very special that we were able to travel so far to be just to be with them. I'm sure that it did mean a lot. So I saw God move in his faithfulness to get us there. I saw God move in, you know, his faithfulness for fundraising and safety and, you know, everything to get the project done. All the manpower, the two armies that we had those 2 days to get everything done was just amazing. Being able to work alongside local pastors and the students of the Berean Bible School as well. And then I did see another thing that touched my heart, and it was God's generosity displayed through your men. And there was a Mexican worker whose boots were just torn up, and I didn't really even notice, but this guy did. And he said he was working on them all day long, probably working barefoot, but he was there and he was determined and he was giving his all for the purpose. And so I saw the guy give him a very nice pair of boots, and that really just touched my heart. And he said, you know, they don't have hardly anything, you know, we have everything. And that's really God's heart. And that's your heart for this mission. And now I will introduce my wife, Ashley.
Who's that? Okay, hi, my name's Ashley, as he said. I am his wife, and I was the one who said, sure, why not, let's go. I'll be honest, I'm very grateful for this opportunity to serve the Lord on this missions trip. I've been to local ones. This is my first international missions trip. But I'll be honest, I had no idea what I was getting into. Like, zero. Mike was like, so we're doing work. I said, okay, I can work. I'm a hard worker. I got this. But I had no idea what to expect. I didn't even know what part of Mexico we were going to. I heard Monterrey. I'm like, okay. And I kept flipping with Montreal. Like, I was like, I have no idea. But I want to say that a few things that really stood out to me during this trip was first, God was first. There is no other question about this with this team, is that God was number one in their hearts and number one in the mission. I think there's so many times that mission trips and missionaries, and we can imagine like, oh, there's all this stuff to do, all these things to get done. But every day it started with devotionals, whether we were in Texas when we should have been in Mexico, whether we were actually in Mexico working with our arms really tired. Like, it did not matter. It always started off with God first. And that just allowed us to position our hearts and create relationships and connections and move the kingdom twice as far as it would have been without that. The second thing I want to talk about is community. We didn't know anyone coming here. Keith at least knew Josh, who he had to meet twice the first morning when we got here. And we didn't know anyone, but the community that you guys that they had created was just phenomenal. Like Keith said, it was a group of hardworking, well-prepared, ready to serve the Lord community. And then we combined that with the Mexican community when they were down there ready to work hard and serve, and things got done that you would never have expected to get done in that timeline. I was amazed. I was thinking, man, we're going to be lucky to pour like this pavement, this concrete slab. And then they're like, we're done. Let's do the stairs. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it was just phenomenal what happens when you bring people together. A couple things I learned about their culture is that they are probably some of the hardest working people I've ever been able to work alongside. They came full of joy. They left full of joy. The first time when the pastors came, they're like, oh, do you guys want to go see the spot down here? I'm like, aren't you guys like tired? They're like, no, come on, let's go. And so we like got to go, and just the community and the camaraderie that they created with us. Another thing I didn't know about the community and the culture, as we know, there's a lot of tension with our cross cultures between America and Mexico. But God allowed me to have compassion. He says, have compassion on them. And learning, talking to Gary, and learning about how their life is, if you work 60-hour weeks, you're still living in pallet houses. And if you grow outside of that, then with the drug culture, like it can get you in trouble, and dangerous things can happen. And I didn't understand that, and that meeting people who are walking through that has grown my heart of compassion for that. The other thing that talking in just community is something that someone had brought up to me was that wants can become burdens very quickly. That what we think we want versus what the Lord wants for us can really change our hearts and lead us into a place that the Lord doesn't want us to be in. That what we thought that, for example, a bougie coffee maker is my favorite thing, right? That can become a burden if you, now you have to clean it. Now you have to do all this other stuff with it. Is it worth the burden? But maybe that becomes a ministry. And just being able to take what we want and check it against the Lord. Maybe my bougie coffee machine now can create lattes and I have people over and now we make wonderful coffee and connect. So just checking my heart and seeing what is truly a want and what is a burden and how is the Lord wanting to change that in me. So I can honestly say seeing God orchestrate everything and everyone was a beautiful symphony, and it was a melody that I will carry into like the rest of my life, and just seeing how God continues to move in amazing ways. Next up is the fire chief of Mexico.
Bob. Thanks, Ashley. Not so much. Anyhow. Let's see. So what you can't see in the picture very well on the left is we measured it out at 13 foot 6 inches worth of a shovel that I'm holding. Since Cuernavaca and my complaints to Gary about how there isn't a long enough handled shovel for us to adequately work down here, I donated a several batches of long-handled shovels, so when us Wisconsin Giants came down, we had an adequate tools to do the job. So he felt it necessary to give me the longest shovel in Mexico, and it was too long to bring back home. So anyhow, but in all seriousness, I want to dovetail off of a message that Jeff did an excellent job last week of talking about with the prayer. And talking about answers to prayers. Oftentimes, we don't necessarily know what's all going on in the background, and especially in the spiritual realm. But when we get those urges from the Holy Spirit within us, at how much of a difference and what that and how it all connects, and we don't always see what that equates to. This trip was a big, big answer to that, and seeing directly what the Holy Spirit had been moving in multiple members of our community here, but also what's been going on in Mexico. So just to paint the picture, 4 years ago, we went out with our first missions trip to Cuernavaca in order to assist Feed My Lambs with the addition of a second story to the children's home. It was a big project. Doing construction period in Mexico is a big project. There's money, there's people, there's the what you need to do and just physically getting it done. Not the same that happens as far as contractors and work and pricing and everything else that we experience here in the U.S. So there was a lot of prayer, and Gary and Minnie and the Feed My Lambs, they took on this project. Well, about 3 years ago, we returned to help finish up that project that was still undergoing, and we're only a small piece of that project. Well, also 3 years ago, a group of pastors, elders, church members that we got to meet on Monday of the work day that came down there to work, they started praying for a facility that could handle bigger groups, and there's some available, but they're very expensive. And so when you take these poor churches, these poor communities that don't have a lot of money, they're maybe scratching by supporting their pastor and just to keep the lights on at the local church. They don't have a lot of money to spend in order to bring their communities together, their churches together for these different outreach programs for more beyond. But the ministry center that Gary had was pretty limited. They couldn't handle very big groups. So they started talking about that, you know, just finding something in these group of pastors. They started praying regularly 3 years ago and had been continued praying that they would find a facility to be able to do that. 2 years ago, Gary decided through prayer that it was time to, because he'd felt this urging, I'm sure he felt the local pastor's encouragement as well, but he felt the urge to expand. Having just completed the children's home project, which was about a 14-hour bus ride away, is where they were working on that, to take on another big expansion project, which I'm sure he wasn't physically, mentally, emotionally ready to do, but he felt the need and decided to do that. So the Holy Spirit urged him. He came up. He talked to us over a year ago. Met with a few of us, said, here's what we have for a plan. We want to start putting a big project together down there, which we can expand, and we have all these things to do. We said, cool, you've got the money? He says, well, we'll get it. And do you have local resources? Yeah, we'll find them. Well, as we know, that's always sometimes challenging. Also, a year ago, Dell's big dream happened. He talked a little bit about it at our presentation last year, but what it came down to was we were looking at a way to fund missions trips so that it wasn't on top of planning to go down and labor, but also a way that we could add additional value, do fundraising to start bringing together a financial component versus just a labor component. And fundraising is always a big part of it. And when you start talking about tens of thousands, twenties of thousands of dollars that it takes for just materials alone to get work done, it's a big project. Dell came up with this idea that we can work locally for local contractors because we have established some skills. We can run a shovel, or a very large shovel. We can run wheelbarrows. We can do labor. And maybe there's a need for local contractors to provide that, where we can actually get some donations to the missions fund to try and create some of this revenue, some of this funds. Well, that dream happened to be mentioned, and found a retiring contractor that had a few jobs still lined up that had also recently lost all of his labor. We worked with Dale and his projects that also had Ethan involved, but basically we provided and were able to raise a substantial amount of funds last summer through those projects. We didn't have a real good business plan on that, on how we were doing this or what we were doing this and what was going to happen with this money. We were just making money for the process, knowing that at some point there'd be a need, if nothing else, to help send the teams to these different projects. Well, we got towards the end of that. As we started scheduling the mission project, the decision was made that we're going to send the money to Gary, which meant we needed to ask for support to help send the team to, and as well as find additional funds for Gary. A lot of us did a lot of praying on that, took a lot of leap of faith. We went out and asked for funds from people. We all take pride in being self-sufficient. I can handle my own things. I can do this. But asking others to help, especially on a project like this, was a big humbling step. And through prayer, we did it. And we raised a large amount of funds. Interestingly, back to Gary and his mission, he was starting to try to figure out, he's got a big group from Minnesota or Wisconsin coming. Sorry about that. A big group from Wisconsin coming that had the ability, had the equipment, but he didn't have the funds. So he's trying to figure out, what's he going to do with us? And he's praying about it and praying about it. Everything is costing much more than he had thought and had estimated, probably due to the extensive blueprints and project management that he puts into organizing all these events. But another inside joke for us. But anyways. We started about that time, came to the conclusion, we'd asked for funds, funds started rolling in, we sent them to Gary. Gary suddenly gets the biggest donation that he's had, not just us, but also through his ministry, he started receiving the funds in order to support this project and other. Along the way as well, he'd been praying because he was paying what he felt an exorbitant amount, and what I would agree with, for all that metal work that's hanging up in the air in a lot of the other pictures that you've seen. There's the metal that was working. The welder was charging him a tremendous amount of money to come in and weld locally. He didn't know how to handle this. It was sucking a lot of the funds that he did have away from the mission of what he was trying to support. Along came Daniel Siegel, a missionary out of Missouri. This young man, amazing. I don't know how that connection happened. I forgot to ask. But Gary stumbled upon him from a friend of a friend of a friend that basically recommended him. Daniel came down, brought his welder. His truck broke down along the way, but he still continued on. They got him down there into Mexico, and he spent 6 weeks welding and welded the entire time, and we got the privilege of working with him, which saved Gary tens of thousands of dollars just in what that was going to happen, which allowed more progress to be made on the project. We were able to see in this support and through all of these different incremental, just how all things came together, the urging of the Holy Spirit for us to do our part, the praying that was occurring outside of this that none of us were aware of. And then we had the actual blessing of working with and hearing from those pastors, elders, the church, those members that came in and worked side by side with us and told us their story, how they'd been praying for this and were so anxious to see this expansion come on, because now they could bring their whole families, these big communities together for these at this beautiful place that would now have a facility that they could afford. Because all of Gary's work is done free will donation. They don't charge at this point. So any group that wants to come, they open the doors for them, they run their camps, they run this. It's an amazing opportunity for them. It's gonna help the Mexican people and the message of God for years, many years to come. And that was just, prayer matters. Right, Jeff? Prayer matters. Let's keep doing it. And we feel that urge from the Holy Spirit. It probably has to do with some prayer somewhere and God's mission for you down the road, which may not happen today. So I'll turn it over to Andy.
Good morning. Yes. So this is my third trip down to Mexico. The first two were towards Cuernavaca. This is my first time being able to go to where Gary's been based out of, so that's been really cool to finally see where he's at. I'm not quite as gifted in regards to construction as a lot of the other guys in our group, but that isn't necessary requirements. It's helpful, but it's not necessary. So all you have to do is, if you feel the call, listen and basically go for it, because yes, we need the skilled labor and the knowledge behind that, but also there's plenty of shovels to be moved, wheelbarrows to be run. The skilled guys need gophers, so sometimes it can be helpful if you're tall. You can actually lift the sheets of metal up so that way they can get it to the roof a little easier. But the first day, Ken and I were working on prepping some plywood for the sanctuary. So we were up baking on the roof the first day. We did some staining, some polying, got that prepped while the other guys were working on other projects. So there was a shop that was made. There was a lot of concrete being poured. While the brunt of it was the concrete, there were other projects going on all around the place. Also, don't let any physical limitations kind of hold you back, because I have injuries as well that I deal with, and if the Lord wills it, he will provide. I held up pretty much till about Thursday, and all that shoveling did end up getting to me, but he provides, and I was actually able to keep mobile, where usually I'm down. Like, he's able to sustain, and he helped us more or less make it to the finish line. Like, that picture there on the left is literally the night before we flew home, and we're working on those steps, like, up until I think it was 9 p.m. that night, just with headlamps, shovels, and a lot of sweat. So it was cool to see, and it was really cool to be able to bless Gary and the people of Mexico in that way.
I'm glad I get to follow Andy, because Andy talks about him not being skilled, but one of the jobs that he was forced into doing, and not on anyone's like purposeful forcing, but he just ended up there because that's what Andy does. The worst job every year, and he just does it. He just sends it. And one of the jobs was taking the 110-pound bags of concrete, and those are way bigger than us little people in the United States can handle. We used to get 80-pound. Most bags are 60-pound now. So, I mean, these are huge. And you would set them on two cinder blocks with a piece of rebar in the center, slice the top, and then lift it up, and then take that bag up to the mixer that Mike is running. And Andy got stuck with it, and he just did it. And so he talks about his injury, which is his back. And you can imagine, he's like the tallest guy in church. So anyways, a shout out to just the willingness of the guys that we got to work with. So Josh Linder and Travis Jansen, I worked with them a bunch. Josh I worked with a lot in the past. Travis was kind of new to me working with him this year. We were the soft crew. We weren't doing the concrete. Those were the hard guys, the manly men. We were doing the soft work. And it really was a blessing, because the first night down there, I had some just nasty gut pain, just gas pain. I'm sure it was some spicy foods I ate. And that carried with me through like Thursday of the week. And the whole time I'm just like, Lord, why? Why is this something that I'm struggling with when I want to be here just 110% and just get this work done? And Friday, the pain started to subside, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and it was about joy, like finding joy. I was looking to find productivity, my health, like my comfort in working. Not that I'm there to be comfortable, but that was what I wanted. And the Lord is just like, you need to find joy. Like, you're not going to get joy from what you completed. The joy is going to be serving me and knowing that the only rest that we will find is in him. And that was just a really sweet personal growth for me. The other picture I have here on the left is just a group photo. This is my second year going. But this year was just powerful. I mean, the Lord is working in our communities right now, in our state for sure. I've had a lot of conversations with friends and other churches in the area that the Lord is just stirring, and he's always working. But there are times when we are open to that work, and he's working, and it all comes together, and you just see that. The relational aspect on this trip was partly fostered by the chaos of the work that we may or may not be doing. Because although Mike communicates everything better than you could imagine it being communicated, it is like the grayest mishmash of what are we actually going to do, what are we actually going to have, who's going to be there. And that was so good, because this trip, we went down with the idea, like, this is going to be a relational trip. We really don't know if there's anything to do when we get there. I mean, we knew there'd be work, but we didn't know if it was going to be the work that we were expecting. And so we went down knowing the work was secondary to the relationships. That's how it felt to me. And it really was. I got to talk to Gary Moore, our team members, the Rollins, a beautiful family that came down. I don't know if there's slides of them. But it was just a really, really sweet opportunity to be in relationship with one another and to know that we have the body of Christ supporting us back home. And we just appreciate the opportunity to go and the time we get to spend together and meet new faces like the Kaufmans. Ashley can really push a wheelbarrow. Don't let her fool you.
Where do I start? Wow. I got the privilege to be chauffeured to Mexico and back by Bob Dell and Mike, which are two people in my life. We were down there to pour concrete, and we talked to Gary about what he wanted to do. He had given me an idea. He said he had about five different projects that he wanted to do, five different pours. We did seven. So the stairs that we did was something that he came up with and he had a picture of that we had to try and put together. And for those of you that don't know concrete, there is absolutely no more physical demanding job in the construction trade than concrete. And then mix this by hand. This team knocked it out. I've done this for years, and the amount of work that they did and the way they did it was fantastic. To go out there and try and pour this, the picture I've got on the left there is Bible camp, the Bible students that came and helped. And thanks to them and what they did, it was just wild. There was two young guys down there, and I don't know if I even have a picture of them, Tomas and Diago, two young guys that had grown up in the church that Gary had here. He's known them for many, many years. They're 18, 19 years old, I believe. Their father's kind of destroyed their family. And so they really enjoy coming to work here. They come and enjoy, and they work here. And here we come, the big Wisconsinites, which I just get to be a part of, and not that my height fits it. We come down there, and Gary had told me, he said, that they're not accustomed to us working. They're not accustomed to Americans working. I mean, with our wonderful media, that they don't understand that, I mean, those of us up here, we work, and we'll work hard. And so he said, you know, it's exciting with the relational part. He's bringing in the pastors. He's bringing in the Bible study. They're going to be amazed at watching you guys work. Well, Tomas and Diego are down there. And so knowing that going down there, I don't want them to feel that, you know, oh, here we are, the big Americans, you know, we're going to show you how it's done. No, we're here to help. We're here to do what we can. And so we started using Google Translate, which doesn't work. And there's so many things that it doesn't translate correct. But we, you know, use our monkey hands and try and explain what we're trying to say. And so I talked to these two young guys many times. And what really hit me was the second to the last day, we're pouring that big set of steps. And this is all hands on deck. We need everybody involved. There's a lot to it. There's forming that's involved. There's pouring concrete correctly, pouring it at the right time, trying not to blow things out, trying not to make a mess. We're limited to the material we have. We're limited to how we put it together. There's just a lot to it. And so Diego is running a wheelbarrow, and he came up the ramp, and he kind of slipped and went one way in here, and I was teasing him about it. And I could tell there was a connection because he was joking about it. You could see the smile on his face. And then a couple other times he'd bring up just a real small, and I'd tease him, oh, little bitty, and you know, he'd laugh. And the next day then, Gary's taking the crew back to the airport, and so Tomas and Diego came in, and he comes up with his phone, and we're explaining, trying to talk to each other, and he says that Gary wants us to work with you today. Oh, well, we're in the process of trying to finish the bottom set of steps. We're trying to figure out how to put this together. What's this supposed to look like? Where is this? How does this line up? How do we get this poured? And then these guys want us to work together. Oh, I know what you can do. And so I went up. So Mike and I went up there and started to explain how to finish the top part. And we're pouring a curb. They don't use the term curb. So trying to explain to them what we want to do, and we're out with the markers, and we're out with string lines, and explaining to them we got it. And away they went. And then a little bit later, they get done, and they come up, and what else? Oh, you can finish this part here. And so they jumped on that too. It was really exciting to feel that there was a connection made, that they felt that we were there to help. They understood what we were saying. We weren't there to show them up. We're there to do what we can. And working together was a real treat. We got a lot done. We got an amazing amount done. Gary was just thrilled to death to finish the concrete on the side there where it's green. That was a big part that was never planned, that we put a 10-foot sidewalk all along that whole side of the building. That has been mud when it rains. That's been dirt for the last year and a half, 2 years. So for him to have concrete there, he can literally walk from his house now to that building. And as soon as the roof part gets done over the steel, even in the rain, he'll be able to walk from office to home without getting wet and getting soaked. And the plan is, Josh decided to make the ramp a little wider because that's set up for Minnie and her golf cart. So at some point, Minnie's going to have her golf cart go up there. And we're waiting. I think at the end of the month, we'll have a picture. Because Mike's comment was that that's going to be a great spot for kids to get the photos. And they've set up their first youth group trip, and they've got 80 kids coming. So I'm looking forward to having that picture with all the kids standing on the steps that we put together, that built at a facility that we'll never probably see, we'll never experience what goes on, but God's moving there.
All right. Who's still paying attention? Very good. So we have a bunch of people from our group that aren't here. Thankfully, Mike filled up all the time that they would have used. So no one's getting out of here early. And now the greatest rambler and ranter of all has the mic. Look at, people are peeling out. Bless you. Very smart. Those are the smart ones. All right. So I'm last. Right? Which checks a big box for me. Anyone that knows me, my name is Dell. At times of my life, I've been an athlete. Times of my life, I've been in law enforcement. And I would hit leadoff. And I would be the first one through the door. And I always wanted to be on a team where I was the nine hitter. How great of a team would that be? All humbleness implied there. This is a great team. This is the best trip, mission trip for me. It was awesome. So there's my slide. They say a picture says 1,000 words. The picture on your right, my left, that just says one word. Bennett. We heard Bennett a million times. And like they say with a dog, you know, the most valuable word that a dog hears is his name. And it could mean a million things. And Bennett means a million things. But the seriousness with that photo, why I picked that one, I just like it. You got an old wise man focused on the task. You got a young fella doing what he's supposed to do at that moment. Paying attention. I just like it. So we live in a land of abundance. Some people in Mexico call our country the land of mansions. So think about your house right now. My house is 100 years old, and it's a mansion. It would be envied and cherished by almost everyone living in Mexico and other places around the world. I do always think about that when I go on a mission trip, whether I'm flying or driving, of where am I going, what it's like there, what's the culture like, what's their suffering like. I think Bob brought up, or somebody brought up Daniel, the other missionary, what a godsend he was, a very interesting, wonderful, positive, humble young man with a million skills. I think it was our last day of working, and Daniel's a go-getter. He's always pushing the ball forward. It's awesome. And there was a spot where Dale was doing some figuring, and he had me hold a string line, which could mean 30 seconds or 18 minutes of crouching down on a pile of rocks, holding a string in place. And I'm doing that, and Daniel right away is like, hey, let's put a stake in there. And I'm like, oh, let's wait and see what Dale wants to do, because put the stake in now, probably going to have to move the stake, just the way things goes or whatever. And then a little while later, he's like, should we put that stake in for the string line? And I'm like, oh, well, wait. I'm like, I said that one of the easiest parts about this trip, like, it's hard work, it's hot, it's miserably hot, and I'm born in the north. It's very difficult for me. But I said, one of the easiest parts about this trip is you don't have to think. You just do what Dale says. All day, every day. Just do what Dale says. You get a more harmonious outcome. And I said, and I could tell Daniel's struggling with that because he's so skilled and so capable. And I said, you know, we're heavy on leadership, this group. We have Mike Deems. We got Fire Chief Bob. We got an engineer, Ethan, Marine Corps, Andy, myself, very assertive, and typically a leader. And I remember years ago at training where we were asked to list out all the characteristics of a good leader. And somebody said, somebody that can follow. And I think that's a good way to look at it. If you're considering going on a mission trip and you're overwhelmed with what will I bring to the table, just be a good follower. Follow Christ every day. He'll put people in your life to be mentors for you and to learn from and follow. You can just be a spoke in the wheel and be a huge contributor. There was no weak link. Everybody contributed and got tons of productivity out of them. You know, Bob mentioned a little bit about Dell's Dreamland, our off-season activities for fundraising and stuff like that. That's another great way for any of you guys to get involved, or gals. Sometimes people, they doubt, like, why would I go on a mission trip when there's such need here? There's plenty of need here. The high-rise ministry is a jewel in the crown of East Lincoln. It's awesome. It's consistent. It's good obedience to Christ. And then projects that we do, too. It'd be a great way to get involved locally. I am referencing my notes from time to time to try to not keep you guys here till supper. This was, in my opinion, the best trip. And to kind of take from what I learned a little bit from Gary this trip, where he's talking about the difference in our cultures. He said that Mexico and probably the rest of what we call the third world is a warm culture, and we are a cold culture. And I thought, how great would it be to have some of that cold culture, like 45, 50 degrees? But that's not what he's talking about. He wasn't talking about temperatures. He's talking about relationships with people. They are warm. They value relationship and connection, partnership, whereas Americans, like Ethan talked about, we are primarily focused on what did I get done, what did I accomplish, who did I impress, what did I gain. And I really put, Gary mentioned that early on in our trip, and I really tried to have that in my mind while I was working. This trip, I probably interacted with Gary more so than on the previous three. Because I do like to just go to these trips and just keep focused on how do I be an asset, how do I be constantly working, getting stuff done, and not jumble up the mess with too much of my good ideas or whatever. So I haven't really spoken with Gary a lot over the years, but this year was a little different, and I learned he's actually a member of East Lincoln Alliance and is actually very touched and honored by that. And it's important that we continue to support him, that we go down the well with him on these trips, but most importantly, we stay in prayer and we're always holding firmly to the rope that he's dangling from. It is difficult down there. It's difficult to be completely immersed in his environment and that culture. Go back to the picture of Dale and Bennett. For those of you that may not know, Bennett is Dale's grandson. That's why he gets away with that kind of edging towards the edge of like verbal abuse, which phenomenally is done with one word, Bennett. There's no insulting terms or anything like that. It's just the tone and the inflection that varies with that word is Bennett is amazing. It means everything. Praise, chastising, it's direction. It means come, it means go. It's awesome. Very versatile. So as Mike mentioned, I did get to preach. It was very interesting. And having the translator, having Minnie there was also something I don't think I've ever really done before in my life. That was a lot of fun. But my biggest takeaway for that is the preparation before the preaching. What was going on in my heart and mind. I didn't have it all written out and planned ahead of time. I worked on it throughout the week on what some of my brothers and sisters may have said during devotions, what I was thinking and observing during the day. I really felt Jesus was really working with me in those preparations. I'm thankful for that. And after I spoke at the church, they had a time where people came up to the stage and knelt and prayed, and we stood behind them and put their hands on them. And it was the first time in my, I've been a Christian for 31 years. The first time in my life that I ever raised my hand up to God and was connected with other people in praise and worship. Somewhere in the Bible it talks about drawing attention to yourself and unrighteously doing things during worship to bring attention upon yourself. So I've never been critical of people that do that, but I always just think, that's not for me. I will be doing that for how I look to other people. So I've really refrained from it, but I didn't even think about it. It just happened. It was, I think it was a profound moment in my life. I'm almost done. I just want to read a few verses from Scripture. And if I lose it, it's a mixture of some other things going on in my life, but also the impact of this mission. So bear with me. Psalm 77, verse 9-12. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Nothing I've said today is boasting of myself. I had planned on sharing about my experiences with Mexico. Brother Keith spoke about some shoes in Mexico. And I brought him home. There was about an 18 or 19-year-old man that was working in these shoes in over 90-degree heat on rock and rebar. And basically his feet were bare. As I was watching this happen, I noticed there's still rocks inside them. I noticed something about a lot of the Mexican people that I've observed over the years. A lot of them, I think, they only have one pair of shoes. Some of those guys are in their best pair of shoes, like what we wear today on Sunday, and they're working whatever the task is. Keith mentioned that somebody gave this young man a pair of shoes. We did that. This whole group did that. So thank you. And that is all I really have to say. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the blessings, for the opportunity, for the challenges that mold us into followers of Christ. East Lincoln Alliance Church is on mission and will continue to do that. We will continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we will continue to praise the Lord, be a group of people that learns from the Word and puts the Word into practice. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.